Tonight's scripture comes from the well-known passage used at wedding receptions from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And we hate those. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, God, to bring your word alive in us, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Such a beautiful passage about love. And as Doug reminded us, it's a familiar passage, the passage we hear at weddings. And we think about all the wonderful things love is: patient and kind and slow to anger, and not harboring a record of wrongs. And we know, because John tells us in his letter and because we've experienced it in our own lives, that God is love. And so therefore, every one of those descriptions can be applied to God. And we love to think about the way God loves. It's a pretty awesome thought. We sang about it earlier. And yet this passage starts out with these first three verses that, if we listen to them, they make our jaw drop. Paul says, no matter how eloquent I am, no matter what language I can speak in it, whether it's the language of humans or whether it's the language of angels in heaven, no matter how eloquent I am, if I open my mouth without love, I'm just like a noisy gong. I'm just like a clanging cymbal. And if I understand all things and can prophesy, and if I have enough faith to say to that mountain, be moved, if I have all wisdom, so many of these things that we chase after, and yet I don't have love, I'm nothing. Nothing. And if I do all this amazing spiritual stuff, if I take care of the poor, and if I make great sacrifices, the New Revised Standard says, if I give my body over to be burned, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. There's no benefit for me in it without love. I don't know about you, but every time I read those words, I have to stop for a minute and pause. Because we're really about, as Christians, doing the right thing. We're really about checking things off our Christian list, to make sure we prayed, to make sure we read our Bible, to make sure we came to church, to make sure we taught Sunday school, to make sure, whatever's on our list. And not that those aren't really amazing things that are on our lists, they are. But Paul says to us, right from God's heart, if we're going through the motions, if we're doing stuff because we have stuff that needs to be done, because we're checking it off our list, it's of no use. God's not so interested in what we're doing as he is in our heart. And he says to us, give it to me and let me make it mine. God doesn't want a lot of people with real pretty church faces on walking around trying to do a whole lot of Christian stuff. God's in the business of redeeming, of transforming, of making what was broken whole, and that includes our heart. And while it is so important that we pray and read the scriptures and come to worship, while it is so important that we're about the business of the church, taking care of the poor and looking out for the outcast, all of that is not supposed to come from a list of obligations, but it's supposed to become, it's supposed to come from a heart that's been transformed by God's love. Sometimes when we hear these kind of verses and we're aware of the lack of love sometimes we have in our own lives, my temptation at least is to grit my teeth and make myself be more loving. You know, I always seem to fall into that, and I don't think I'm alone in that, gritting my teeth and trying harder. The Bible tells us this about love. We love only because God first loved us. So if we're missing love in our lives, if we look at our lives and at our behavior and don't feel like we act in very loving ways, maybe we need to understand God's love a bit, little better in our own lives. Maybe we one more time need to go to the cross and look at the price God paid to love us. The price God paid to be in relationship with us, and that was the sacrifice of his only son, Emmanuel, God with us, God fleshed out for us. You know, we have people in our lives that are so easy to love. They're nice and they're kind and they're patient and they're all the things Paul tells us love is. They're happy. They don't complain. It's so easy to love people like that. But then we have people that we have to deal with who are a little prickly and who complain a lot and who aren't always very nice to us, or who are odd, or who have something about their personality that just kind of rubs us the wrong way. And those are the people that it's more difficult for us to love. Those are the people that we feel like we have to kind of grit our teeth and put on a being very nice face and love them. And sometimes when we look at the way God loves us, right, we think, well, of course God loves me because I'm one of the really lovable people. And here's the reality. God looked down and he saw this girl who is selfish and who is lazy and has this ridiculous need to be right. He looked down and he saw this girl who has made a whole lot of bad choices and a whole lot of mistakes. He looked down and he saw this girl who spent a lot of time giving him lip service but kept her heart far from him. He looked at this girl with a dirty face, smudged up from living a broken life, and he said, I want her. I want you to be mine. Because you see, God sees me when my church face is all the way off. God sees the brokenness in my own life. God sees my sin. God sees the things that I am so tempted to hide from other people. God catches me in every bad moment. He sees me when I am being the person that I really don't want to be, but I just default to sometimes. God sees me. He sees that person. He sees you. And you know what? He loves us. Not because of anything that we've done, but because he's created us in his image to be his children, and he loves us. And he says, there's nothing in this world that will stop me from loving you. You are mine. But see, there's something amazing about God's love, because he doesn't just say, oh, look at that girl who's a hot mess. But he pours his love on me, and his love is redeeming. It's transforming. He takes a handkerchief and he wipes the smudges off my face. And as I let him love me, he transforms me into the woman that he created me to be. That's what God's love is like. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's life-changing. And then Jesus says this to us. He says, this is how people are going to know that you belong to me. Because you have love for one another. Because you love one another. John tells us again and again, this has been the command from the beginning, that we love one another. And as I look around the world, as I look around the church at large, I know in my life, and I think here in Beverly, and I think church worldwide, we need a love revolution. We need to go back to the place where we love one another with the redeeming, transforming love of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from our hearts, but comes from this overflow of him loving us. I read a lot of different Christian blogs, and one thing I've noticed about the Christian world and the internet is we're spending a whole lot of time arguing with one another, sometimes over little tiny pieces of doctrine, and the purity of our doctrine is absolutely important. But sometimes we're having these arguments to be right, and the world is watching us. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody post a post on Facebook who's a Christian, and you read the comments, and there's Christians battling in the comments of a Facebook post. No wonder the world isn't interested in what we are selling. No wonder this upcoming generation is tired of the hypocrisy of church. Because Jesus says, people know you belong to me by the way you love one another. And I don't know that we're doing a great job. How do we fix that? How do we do that better? We know trying hard just isn't the answer. We know just pretending that we love people that we don't even really like isn't the answer. We know part of the answer is pressing into God's love for us and really letting him transform us. God makes this amazing promise through the prophet of Ezekiel, and he says it twice. God says, this is what I'm going to do for my people. I'm going to take their hearts of stone and I'm going to give them hearts of flesh. I'm going to give them hearts that beat in time with mine. I'm going to give them hearts that are full of love and compassion. And we cannot do that by ourselves. No amount of positive thinking or daily affirmations makes that happen. It's an encounter with the God of the universe who is himself love. You know, around Valentine's Day, we start looking at love and thinking it's this mushy, romantic feeling that needs candles and roses and a whole lot of nice dinner. Love is the most powerful force in the universe because God is love. Love is what runs after lost and broken people. Love is what transforms the outcast to the precious son or daughter of God. Love is what takes the sinner and washes them clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's no wimpy emotion. It's not one thing that's reserved for touchy-feely people. We are loved beyond our wildest imaginings by a holy God. And if you take a glimpse into your own heart and look at your own life, like me, that should take our breath away. We are loved beyond our wildest imaginings by a holy God. And this holy God says to us, let me put my heart in yours. Hand me that hard, stubborn, unloving heart. And I will breathe my spirit, I will breathe my love into you. And you can watch me transform you into a person who loves. So that we would love one another, not just when we're nice, not just when we're socially acceptable, that we as a church would passionately love one another, even when we're difficult, even when we're odd, even when we drive each other crazy, that we would love one another with the transforming, redeeming, powerful love of God, so the world would look at us and know that we belong to Jesus. So the world would look at us and say, I want some of that. Will you pray with me? God, we so desperately need you to pour your love out on us. God, we so desperately need you to take us back to Calvary, where we can see the full extent of your love. God, we need you to take us back to that upper room as we get ready to do Ash Wednesday next week. God, we need you to take us back to that upper room where you showed your disciples the full extent of your love by washing their feet and washing your betrayer's feet and washing the feet of the one who would deny you. Lord, we cannot love like that without you. So we need you to pour your love out on us. God, tonight we just want to surrender our hearts a little more than we've ever surrendered them before. We're longing for you to take these hearts of stone, God, and give us hearts of flesh. Not so we can have a warm, fuzzy feeling, God, but so that we can have hearts that look like your heart. So that we can be about the business of being the church, not by trying hard, God, but by pressing into you and responding to your great love for us. God, we need a love revolution, we need a revival, and we need it desperately. And we would love for it to start right here, right now, with us. Thank you that your love never fails. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you that you love us so much that you will not let us go. Help us to rest in that love. Help us to be transformed by that love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.